Hey, man, what's your bacon?
You gotta tell everybody what that means first.
It's that extra side topping a main course in life that makes everything about your day even better.
Whether it's movies, music, cooking, paranormal, video games, whatever it is that helps you unwind, maybe even get a little bit inspired. We talk to hot new bands.
We are Felicity.
Hey, this is Bradley from Amorosa.
TV personalities.
Hi, my name is Rachel Pizzolatto.
Hi, my name is Patty Makley.
Wrestling personalities.
Mm. Hi, everybody. I am Eric Bischoff.
WWE Hall of Fame Godfather here.
Actors.
This is Sean Kanan. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, podcasters.
Emo Social Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Schrader.
Pretty much any like-minded creative across all facets of the entertainment industry.
You can check out Bacon Is My Podcast on all streaming platforms, as well as the Strangerhood TV YouTube channel. New episodes dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Listen in when we find the answer to the question,
what's your bacon?
This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Deluxe Edition with Casey and Ray. You know why I'm doing that this week?
Why?
Because I asked a bunch of questions this week as if I was the host of this stupid show.
It's not a stupid show.
But more importantly, that only happens for one reason usually, and it's because we have a returning guest. And as always, this woman knocked it out of the park. She is fantastic, funny, beautiful, great storyteller. Patrick Darbo.
Yeah.
Back again.
Yeah, this was another fun episode. We just went into this one, just had a regular old conversation with Patrika, and what a fun time.
Yeah, she's delightful. I like talking to her. And, you know, that style of interview I like, because we already did the movie crap with her the first time, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in this movie. Yes, I am. Oh, you're in this movie. Yes, I am. This time we just had a conversation. It's kind of like what we do with Mark now.
Yeah.
We just talk to people.
Yep. Yeah, we got her take on a lot of the AI stuff that everyone's talking about. You know, it is unfortunately the future of everything. I use it every week. I mean, it's the future.
I am so looking forward to when I don't have to do anything and I'm just an AI image and talky thing. It's going to be awesome.
I'm working on it, buddy. I'm working on it.
I know, because, you know, sometimes I'm real sleepy when we do the show.
All right. What do you say we get into this interview with Patrika right after this quick house cleaning? We are a part of the Deluxe Edition Network. You can find all of the other great shows over at deluxeeditionnetwork.com. The podcasts of the month this month are Bacon Is My Podcast and The Beard Laws Show. Go check them out, both on YouTube or anywhere you listen to podcasts. deluxeeditionnetwork.com. You can find all of our previous shows over at deluxeedition.show. Or go over and check out the Instagram page over at Deluxe Edition Pod. What kind of stuff you doing over there, Ray?
Oh, not that much. I do mostly memes, but you get to see a lot of the reels. So if you're, you know, you want to get a little quick taste of what's coming up, you get some of those over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of reels going on over there. I've got a lot of reels scheduled to come out when Ray can't handle the memes. Let's see. We are on Facebook. Come check us out. Facebook.com/deluxeeditionpod. If you would like to buy a t-shirt, go over to whatamaneuver.net/collection/deluxe-pod. Email us deluxeeditionpod@gmail.com. And let's see, Ray. Today's episode is brought to you by Copper John's Beard. Go over to copperjohnsbeard.com and use code deluxe10. At checkout for 10% off. They got some really great beard stuff over there. They use Ionic Inland Sea Minerals. No other beard company on the planet uses that stuff. So go check it out. And that's it. Here is our chat with Patrika Darbo. Hi, Patrika.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, baby. I'm learning lines now because I was just asked back to Days of Our Lives. So,
ah.
Which is nice. It's nice to know that they like you and they write for you. However, this is one of those things that I'm asked back after what I've been doing it since 98. And this time, though, I don't air until October. That's how far ahead they are, I guess, to keep up with Peacock.
So what other things have you been up to other than learning lines today?
Well, you know, my Super Bowl commercial's running, which I got to do. And then I did the big Divas movie with all the, you know, divas that was on at Christmas and things. But remember, there was a strike last year, so there's really not a lot to report that's new. Though I walked the picket line for, I guess it was 2.5 hours with a bunch of friends, and then we all walked back to my house because they'd parked their cars here because there's plenty of parking. Then I proceeded to trip up my own front steps and broke my shoulder. How fun that was. And even though I broke my shoulder, I got the shingles after 2 shots. And the pain was the worst I have ever felt in my life. Bless you.
Wow.
Thank you.
So that's what I've been up to.
Well, let's look at the bright side of the strike. What's some of the funnier signs you saw out there? Because a lot of comedians were out there with their signs, and I saw some good ones.
You know, I don't remember all the signs, but I will tell you that it wasn't just people that are background or just, you know, day players or, you know, it was major stars were supporting. They were out there too like that, because unless the production company had signed waivers and agreed to our terms, they couldn't start. And a lot of the production companies did. And so some of them went to work. Others, when it was the WGA strike, nobody would cross that picket line in respect. And then we marched with the WGA, and then the WGA marched with us. So it was a unity that was very nice, very nice.
So how did they resolve this thing? What did the actors and the writers end up getting out of all of this?
Well, we're getting a little bit more pay, and though at this point, and they're still working on it, I am a senior retired with a pension. So none of the monies that I earn for the Super Bowl commercial residuals, none of my other residuals for like 40 years of work count towards my insurance. So
you're starting over fresh.
Well, it is. I mean, that was one of the things that we were really fighting for. And at this point, they think that the coffers will fill back up and that they will probably be able to take that over. There are some stringent things on AI. I don't think enough. That's probably what half the actors think right now. But I do know how hard our, you know, president and everybody fought to make sure that we got some protection out of the whole thing. I don't know. I sat about 2 weeks ago. I sat through a seminar on AI. Mind blowing.
But I mean, so you're learning how to use it then, so you can be ahead of the curve.
Oh, honey, I didn't understand a damn thing that was going on. I was like, what? What? And then you look at stuff and you go, oh, this is crazy. But at the same time, I read an interesting article about this one school here in California who has adopted the AI programs for reading. So kids create their own story. They pick a character and then it writes a story for them. And then they read the story to their classmates. And the teacher is finding that reading has increased like 90-something%. And any words that the kids stumble over, they have it in the next story so that they constantly see these words, plus learning new words and the pronunciation and everything. So I thought, that's a pretty good thing, considering California's some of the lowest scores and problems here. So I don't know. I have a feeling I'll be dead. I will have been burned up and be sitting on somebody's mantle someplace.
Now, see, in your case, I think AI could be cool for you because they could just put you in stuff and pay you and just have AI do it for you, but you still get paid for it.
Well, but you don't get paid. It's like you don't get paid as much. It's like a writer. Right now, a writer would, if they're creating a story for the two of you, and they would be writing and creating who you are, how you met, everything you, that you tell them, and they create this wonderful story. Now, if you go to ChatGPT, I think is what a lot of people are using right now, they have AI write the story. Then they give it to a writer to fix, to heighten, to do all that kind of stuff. Well, if the writer creates it, they get paid a bundle. If they come in as the fixer, they don't get paid much. So it's and the kind of the same thing as an actor. Now they're talking about trying to scan our bodies so that they can put us in different places and stuff like that. I mean, if they're going to scan me, I want to be a size 2. I'd like bust down going on and an ass that moves really well. So, you know, pardon me, but, you know, that kind of thing. Though, as Patrika right now, I don't want to see me who have created my own, you know, when I first started in 60, not, I came to visit in California in 1968, and I had a casting director give me, I got to meet him, and I wasn't in the union or anything, but my dad, who was in publicity, knew the publicity director, so they got me in anyway. So I got the sides, went home, learned the sides, went back. The casting director said, "Oh my God, that was wonderful. But I just have to tell you, if you don't lose weight, you'll never make it." Well, I'd like to point out to him right now that I am 2-time Emmy winning, 4-time nominee. And I have a bunch of other awards for doing stuff. So, you know, you can't let anybody tell you no if it's your dream. And I think that's the most important thing. But that's why I wouldn't want AI to really change my body unless I decided to do it.
Sure.
You know, and it's like taking a, an amputee. Okay. So he has no arm, but they think he's wonderful. So they AI an arm on him. That's not who he is.
Right.
And I know that our disability community has been like fighting like crazy going, you know, you hire an actor and then you CG or AI that he has no legs. Then he gets up at rehearsals and walks away. No, because there are plenty of great actors who don't have one. But the studios, I mean, we're living in a time where a lot of the studios don't have wheelchair access, don't have a lot of things. So they go, we can't really bring somebody in right this moment. The same for somebody who's blind or deaf and signs. It's a big thing. I mean, I'm on the disability community. I directed a show, a film for the Easter Seals Disability Challenge. And it's very rewarding. And working with these talented actors, you go, okay, I don't understand why somebody, well, it's like hiring somebody with a fat suit all the time. Hello, I'm a good actor and I could do it, you know. It's that kind of thing with that community and what AI could do to all of us at this point. So, in other words, they could, you know, have two people sitting at that microphone that aren't you.
Oh, yeah. We're actually AI generated. I'm not even here.
I knew you were a stinker going to come up with that. Bad boy.
So what were you learning at? What was the seminar that you were at? Like, what kind of things were they?
It was called an introduction to AI, and it was all day long, and it was different people who did different parts of it. Some of it I understood, and others I was like, wow. And so I am also on the performers executive group at the Television Academy here. And this was put on by the foundation, but I'm going to suggest that we open it, make it one of the performers meetings or big groups that we have, that we, do it again and do it for the performers. Because I think in some cases it will ease people's mind, but in other cases it's going to freak people out. So, I mean, I know a couple people that walked out after the day one going, "This, our business, we're over, I'll never act again." But they didn't sit through the second half, which had some stuff about showing that if I do a film and they hear, they go, oh, we've got to fill that in post. We'll do ADR for that. So I would come in and, lip sync my mouth and do several takes of what the line was that got missed. Now I can do it from home on my phone, whatever, and email it in. And then they have AI do with my voice several different interpretations. Now I listen, they don't have different voices. I still use my voice, but what they do is they can perfectly sync what I say back into my mouth. In other words, it doesn't look I'm in Riley right now. Mm-hmm. What? That was amazing to me. But they also are required to call the actor or talk to the actor and say, which take do you like best? And then you can go like this, ooh, I don't like that one. They go, gone. And then they'll go, blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, I like this one. I think this one is what you want. And then generally the director goes, I agree with you, but I didn't want to influence you again. So we do have some protections. I'm not sure if we have enough that we want and stuff. I'm sure at this point, if I'm wearing a green dress and they don't like the green on me, that they can change it to blue or something, that's all going on. And I don't know, because of that, I really have an Academy Award too. Kidding. But I looped, I think the name of the film was, because and looped is ADR work. This was where the star said, I can't come in, I can't do it. And they're going, we got to get it finished. I can't do it. So they hire an actress who sounds like that actress. So it was a Southern piece. So I always get called in for that because I can go righty into it if I need to, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and I'm trying to think of the actress's name. It was Blue Sky and... anyway, I can't think of her name right this moment, but she won the Academy Award for that movie. And I was hired to sing in the car with the family because she didn't want to come in and sing and do it. So I am singing for her. So I go like this, I also have an Academy Award. Anyway, I don't know. It's a crazy business. I don't want to do anything else. I mean, I was a credit manager for 20 years and acting part-time. Now I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Have they made any progress on paying you guys for the streaming stuff?
They got a couple boosts on that. And, all the time that the studios were saying, we don't have the money, we can't do all this. Warner Brothers just built or is getting ready to, like about 3 blocks from my house, used to be the old Warner Ranch. And it was like a church was there and houses all around. They've torn it down, leveled it, decimated it. They've just now working on a parking structure and they're building 16 new sound stages for streaming. Just about a mile away is the Universal backlot. And they've just built like 12 or I don't know exactly how many, but when you're driving up one street, you kind of go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they've built a whole bunch of them. Now, I'm on this side of the valley. I'm in the valley. So I don't really know what Fox has done, but I'm sure they're building stuff for streaming too. And it's crazy. And now, Days is on Peacock. So the only thing about Days being on Peacock, even though they're minor, they pay residuals. Whereas a regular soap on the network does not pay residuals unless they become foreign. Or unless they have to rerun a clip out of yours. So your face is there, you get paid again. But there are no residuals in soaps unless they're foreign. And if they're foreign, they're like 10 cents a show here, 6 cents a show here. So you're not going to survive on the foreign residuals.
So you're talking about they're making all those new studios for them to make their own programming.
They're all for streaming. Yes. So, wow. But it's interesting too because we're getting a lot of, which is going to put a lot of foreign speaking ADR workers out of business. because now with AI, they can go, okay, we need this to be a Swedish accent. Well, that's voice generated because a lot of people can't come in. They do have Swedish speaking ADR people that could come in live and do it. But now, and I don't know what their protections are because I don't do a lot of voice stuff, but it's, they can perfectly sync to the mouth Swedish. So when they're dubbing, they don't have to hire people anymore. They want it Portuguese. Okay, here's a Portuguese voice translation going perfectly. The face of AI is changing things. The face of streaming is. I mean, I did during a COVID, which there were so many protocols, it was unbelievable. But they were for my safety as well as everybody that was working because they had to finish this product. I dubbed a Spanish film, and I dubbed a Russian film or a Polish. I'm not really sure which one it was. But the lady who was doing the Spanish, she and I had to do my lines. They're showing me what they want me to say in English. And she goes, why are you going to be the good? And then the line was, hello. And I was like, really? Is that all? Can you add something there? Because it's not hello. It's not going to work. And the lady from the East, like Russia or wherever, she didn't move her mouth at all. She's like, you know, and it's like my whole brain is going, this is not something you're cut out to do. This is, and then they had all this dialogue and I go, but her mouth isn't moving, you know? So anyway, and I'm sure at this point AI would fix that, but they would have a program now that would replace me. So a lot of people that dub in other languages and even in English, because that's on the category too, they can perfectly sync the mouth to the dialogue. So like I was saying before, if I'm at home filling that line in that they want, they can now take it and perfectly match it to my mouth. So it doesn't look like I'm little one step behind or one step ahead. So, I mean, it's just amazing. At the same time, I'm kind of glad I'm old because, I mean, it's a lot of jobs are being cut out and there are so many young kids coming up that may never get a pension and will probably have to have two or three jobs to keep their acting going alive. So,
speaking of voiceover work and kids, when you did Rango, how do you compare that to like doing the voice work where they do the AI or the translating stuff?
Well, that was very interesting because it was with Johnny Depp, you know that. So we were, but usually you go into a soundstage to work, like your studio. You go into the studio, you're all by yourself and you do all your lines. Then the next actor comes in and does all his lines and they go together. But on this one, Gore Verbinski was the director. He had us all going. Everybody was there. When you came in, he said, get something that goes with your character, a costume piece, a hat, something. You know, what? So now we're like, you know, there are people with guns on and people with cowboy hats and chaps on and aprons and little, you know, bonnets on their head. And we're all like going, what the hell is happening? What's happening? Anyway, so he would rehearse us all talking at the same time. Not cutting one another off, but talking, doing our lines live. Then he would take us over and put us kind of in this batten thing where mattresses are on the wall and things are up there like this. And we would do it that way. That was how the recordings were done. And then there was one whole scene where we were all, the characters are all dancing. If you saw it, you know that there was the rats are dancing with the mice and the chickens and whatever. He hired a professional dancer to come in and choreograph it because we all had to do the dance live because the animators wanted to see different movements and stuff. They just didn't want to draw it, which was wild. And then I remember one other time, Gore Verbinski is talking to Johnny And now, meanwhile, Johnny's in a hat and a thing around his neck and a gun's on his hip like this. And he's saying to him, now, I really want you to go in here and I want you to do all this. And this is how I want this to go, like this. And all of a sudden, he's kind of done. And Johnny kind of turns to the other actor and goes, isn't this animated? Like this. It was kind of like, at which point the entire place lost it at that point. But it was truly a great experience. And I think that animation is unbelievably good. I mean, it's a whole new step into animation and stuff.
So. Yeah, and it's a fun story. Me and my son, he's 12 now, but we've watched that a bunch of times. And there's the famous line where he's like, one bullet. So we say that all the time, just randomly.
One bullet. Well, I got
no reason.
Yeah, no reason, but it's fun. Sometimes you can kind of look at people and go, one bullet. It all depends on how you would say it. The interpreter's like, yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, this is, oh, bullshit. That's bullet. So I like it. It kind of reminded me so much of Chinatown. You?
A little bit, but
the water and stuff like that. I'm going, yeah. This is animated China.
Yeah, but there are some funny scenes in that. You actually did more than one character in that.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's kind of like being when I did Babe. I'm real good at being sheep and cows and chickens but on this one I was just a rat one time and then another rat, which was a hick rat. So I was like talking very nice like this, and then suddenly I was like, shoot the bastard out of the throat. Fun, lots of fun.
So what are you doing for fun on an average day? What are you doing to keep your brain occupied?
Oh, well, as I said, I'm work with the TV Academy, so I have things to do there. Right now they're having their FYCs where you go and look at the thing and they have a little party, and then afterwards, you have a talk back to the actors that are doing it or the director and writers. So that's how we pick who we want to nominate. I'm also a member on the board of the Thalians, which December we did our big ball that we raise money all the time for our Operation Mend at UCLA. And we kind of give them like $200,000 every quarter or twice a year, I guess it is. And the Thalians, which was started way back with Jane Mansfield and Debbie and a couple things. It was a big Hollywood thing. I mean, it was unbelievable. Frank Sinatra got an award. He was a Thalian. Well, Carrie and Debbie both were there like this. I'm sure Todd was probably there. He's been very generous to the Thalians also. But we want to take care of the returning vets' mental health. So Operation Mend is taking care of PTSD, but also like burn victims who come back that are totally, you know, they're not who they were when they left, and helping them get mentally back into it, like, which is terrific. The Operation Mend organization is fabulous. I'm hoping to be asked to be on their board too, because I think it's just terrific and they do so much work. And I'm also an elk. And I'm also in the VFW. So I have a lot of things going on.
There you go.
Yeah. So I try to stay active in those things if I can. And then my husband has dementia started. So it's been, you know, a lot of me being here with him and stuff, because they can't, they did take his driver's license. So he is no longer able to drive. And that was hard for him and still hard for him. That takes up most of my time at this point, because to remind him to take the pills, feed the dog, lock the doors, do all these kind of things. So, and I'm getting ready to play in the George Lopez Golf Foundation golf tournament. That's in May. His foundation does camp for kids that have kidney surgery coming up, or kidney surgery they've done, or any, you know, that long. They can't really go to normal camp a lot of times. Some of them are on dialysis, which can be done there, or getting ready to face all that. So they, at least they're with similar kids, because everybody's kind of going through it. And it's, you know, it just raises a lot of money. So it's a fun golf game. My handicap is 36.
I was just about to ask you, are you any good at golf?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty good on my short game because that's where the dough is. And also, I cannot drive as far as a lot of the men do. Sometimes I can if I hit it just right, but I'm not sure what's going to happen because it's been a little stiff for me with my broken shoulder. So I'm hoping I can hit the ball, at least with my chipping and my putting, it's going to be good.
That's where you make your money.
I hope so. So anyway, but it's a lot of fun because it's a lot of the medical people that donate that come in. And so it's a huge party. And the after party, after everybody golfs, is a big dinner. I mean, lots of food donated from different restaurants and different things, liquor flowing like there's no tomorrow from, and that's all donated too. So it's just a wonderful event. Linda Small is the coordinator. And so it's amazing. She's phenomenal. She needs a raise, George. Okay.
It does, for somebody who thinks they're not that active, you've got a lot of shit going on.
I know. If you look around, I have eat your lunch, take your pills, all on the wall and stuff. And, you know, and now,
are you a big fan of post-it notes? Because I use those all the time.
Well, I have post-its everywhere, and then I have things with scotch tape because, you know, in this heat that the glue dries out on the, and then I go, oh, the hell happened to those notes? I mean, here, you can see over here, there's one on the door. Here. There's some on my china cabinet, though. I mean, it's like,
You know. See, now I've got a dry erase board magnet for my fridge.
Oh.
I'm a big proponent of that, so you can write stuff on there. Like, I like to write on there when my milk's going to go bad, so I remember to at least crack the top before I throw it in the trash.
I take a take a magic marker, like I've opened tomato sauce and I've only used half of it. This was opened on this, so I know, okay, don't eat it in March if it was opened in November. No, don't do that. No. We'll all be in the hospital. So those kind of things. So, but I've got notes everywhere, and I can't just put it one place because sometimes he doesn't know to look there, but he does when he's going out, oh, I have to go take my pills. Did I take my pills? So he'll come back and check. And it just keeps him. And everything is where it, you know, it needs to be for him. So, you know, that's the most important thing, is not feeling confused all the time, just keeping that normalcy going on. So, yeah.
You guys have been married a long time, if I remember from your Instagram page.
Yeah, we got married. We celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary in December. Yes.
That's a good run. That's a long time.
Well, I recommend you marry your best friend, and just remember that marriage is 100-100, not 50-50, because if you come in only half of yourself, it's not going to work. So,
yeah, I didn't do so good. In fairness, I did make it over 20 years before that. You know, when you marry your high school sweetheart, you guys become different people as you get older. So that's kind of where that went.
And well, we were both, I was at 25. And my husband was 33, I think, at the time. So we weren't high school sweethearts. We got all that foolishness out of our way. So, And if I, at this point, I would recommend women wait till they're 30 and have just a hell of a good time at this point.
I would agree.
Yeah. Just have a good time. But, you know, it was a lot different for me because in the 60s, the birth control came around, and now they're taking those rights, and I don't look good with a white hat and a red cape. So I'd probably be the bitch. No, I don't think I could do that either. It put me off so badly on some of those things. And anyway.
So you mentioned you went out to California. Was it intending to be an actress, or were you just there on like to see palm trees?
Well, no, I came to visit my aunt. And who lived out here, and she wasn't really my aunt. She was my mother's best friend. She'd lived with us for a while anyway, and she lived here. So I came out to visit her in 68 for a week, I think it was. Or maybe it was the full, no, it was just, no, 2 weeks. I came for my 2 week vacation. And I had friends that lived here. So my aunt was like, I can't go to Disneyland again. But my friend said, let's go. And when that happened, you have to remember we had the e-tickets, the B tickets, the C tickets, because you had the rides wouldn't let you on with a C ticket if it was an E ticket, right? now you can't afford to go in there if you've got four kids. Even if you've got one kid, it's so expensive. Yeah. Anyway, I came out. My first of all, my dad was friends with the head of 20th Century Fox's PR department. So I said, well, Daddy, and, you know, what good is Daddy if you don't help me? You know, so my dad arranged for me to meet him. He took me to dinner, lunch at the commissary. So, and I was like, oh, look what's over there. Look what's over there. Look what's over there. That kind of thing. Totally fangirling out. And then it was Eddie Foy the third that was the casting director. He was very kind. And you know, here's the thing. Do you have any, and I said, no, I think it's pretty cut and dry. And I learned it back and forth, up and down, sideways and everything, and went in and did it for him. And he just was like, wow. I mean, but he did say, you know, at your size and your weight, you won't make it. And it, you've got to lose weight and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I came out here in 1970, but, you know, and then was auditioning here and there. I've never had to replace my roof so many times. But if I got a job, that was auditions. And usually I tried to schedule them at lunch so I didn't have to worry about that stuff. But then if I got the job, which I did, honey, I started on the Jeffersons, Give Me a Break, all those shows back in the, you know, Different Strokes. I mean, a lot of them.
Yeah, you were on a lot of TV shows. How about you give me a bone here and tell me who's the biggest dick you ever had to work with on TV?
Well, you know, I'm not going to tell you out loud, but there was one. There was one. There was one. And yeah, yeah.
So when did you realize, like, holy crap, I'm a real actor and I get paid to do this? Like, when was that moment for you?
When the man said to me, you're a woman no more than a goat, don't ever contradict me again. And I went, bye. And I called my husband and said, I'm giving him 2 weeks or 20 minutes. And I told the president of the company, I'm giving you 2 weeks or 20 minutes and you're lucky I'm not going to sue your ass. So he came back to me and said, the guy says he can't work with you either. We'd only met one time. And unfortunately, I sort of corrected him because he was new. But I knew the books and what was going on. And so I said, fine. I had my pictures off the wall, my stuff loaded up, and it was out the door in 20 minutes. And if not, look back. And that, I think 2 days later, I had an audition for a stage show called Cheatin'. We did that show at a little theater that's no longer there. It's the Greyhound bus station now, right next to a meth lab. Not a meth lab, a methadone.
Those are two different things.
Well, I know. One is they're brewing, the other one is they're helping. Anyway, it was where they were helping, but you never knew who was going to come down the alley when you're there waiting to go on through the other door. So, but Del Shores wrote that piece. We got rave reviews. And then he wrote another show called Daddy Stein, Who's Got the Will? To which myself and Molly McClure got to reprise our roles from the stage show. And that was ABC ended up putting me under contract from that show movie. And so I've been doing stuff all the time since then. So it's been wonderful. And that led to Step by Step, which was my first big series. And it was a blessing because I didn't have to audition for it at all. I didn't have to go to network. I didn't have to do anything. And I mean, the rest is history. So,
Do you got any cool souvenirs from any of those shows you were on? Like, I know some of those you're only on for one episode, like Seinfeld. That you're like,
they pretty much guard the props, so it's not good. I do have a cookie jar from Daddy Stein that I took from the set, but I asked for permission to do that. It's great. And I mean, I've had a great time. So, and I'm, listen, honey, I'm a hoarder as it is. So, bring more stuff in. My garage is like, who the hell lives? What? You know, it's like,
what do you collect? Like, are you a memorabilia.
I love old hat pins. So I've collected old hat pins when I walk by a what do you call it?
Rags to Riches.
Here's one called Play Store. And this is an ex-dancer from Bottoms Up that I worked with when I did Bottoms Up, the Vegas show. And we performed a lot in Texas with that. So she's started a whole business there. So I've gone in there to see what they have. And a lot of little antique shops going through there and stuff. And I've been to, like, if I'm in Georgia or I was in Tennessee one time out, and we went by one and I bought one there. And then I'm trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to get this pin. And first of all, I put it in my hat because I was wearing a hat. It was windy, so I put it in my hat. And there, you go through the ding, 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 ding. They go, what's up? They're frisking you like this. And I go back in, frisky again, come back again. They go back through again. They can't figure out what it is. So then they have that person feeling you up. And they don't find anything, but they ask you to do it again, ding, ding. Well, I went, maybe it's this. Which I promptly had to put into my, you know, carry-on thing. And I thought they were going to make me toss it. And I was terrified at that point that I was going to lose this thing I just spent like $50-something for. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of what I was collecting. And I always tease my husband, I collect eggs. So so I love finding little tchotchke eggs things. I'm trying to think. I've got a port. One in the front room right this moment, but I don't see any here I could show you right now. So, but I did. I used to have my egg collection. So,
so you're not really into the high dollar collecting of Mercedes or BMWs or anything.
I drive a Lexus. It's in 2017, so it's not. No.
See, I pegged you for a muscle car woman.
I'm more like my dream car would have been like a SL convertible, Mercedes SL, 450, I think it was. But I did have a Mustang in the 60s. Hey, I was hot. Yeah, yeah, so, that happened. But I did drive a Mustang for a while. Yes, a 65, I think it was.
How long did you manage to hold on to that car?
Not very long because it was called a loaner. My dad had all these deals with the ball club and stuff, so I got that loaner car. I think it went to a big, huge 69 Plymouth that came next because that was the next loaner thing. It was like, it's push button stuff here, and it was like, this car's 8 blocks long. So, yeah.
Yeah, those cars were huge. I used to have a 77 Cutlass, and I would just run into things all the time. Never a scratch on it.
I'm trying to think. It was a Ford something. I can't remember, but it was a convertible. And I love that car. But coming home one night from an event, the car went, woo, I had to pull over. And the guy tells me, oh, you've cracked your block here. Now this was before cell phones. So now I'm on this deserted kind of road. And I took a ride from a stranger, but this is in the days where you could hitch. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to make it home or ended up strangled in the pond by my car. So
well, sometimes you got to flip the coin and just take the ride.
Sometimes you go like this. Well, he looks okay, but I've been watching Criminal Minds. I was out of my mind to get that car.
Hey,
when you're in your 20s, you're invincible.
I was going to say, you know, I've broke down a few times in my 20s, and you're in the middle of nowhere and somebody pulls up and you're just like, well, I guess dead's better than standing here all night. Let's go.
It's cold out here.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, but my guardian angel was taking care of me.
There you go. What's a movie that you've watched a bunch of times that you wish you were in?
Oh, wow. That's hard. I just watched, because TCM is doing all the musicals, and any one of the musicals from the 40s, I would love to have been in there. Betty Hutton was like my idol at this point, and she went right to Thelma Ritter as a character actress. So I had those going on. But I think, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers was fabulous. I mean, American in Paris. But there's a ghost story from the 40-something I wish I could have done, though I really don't know if there was a part in it for me. I just was like, oh, yeah, I'd like to do this. And I'm surprised that nobody's remade it. And it's called The Uninvited. Now, it's not one of those thrasher, those horrible things that come up and get you like this. It was this ghost story, and it was kind of a love story. Ray Milland, Ruth Hussey, and now I can't tell you who the leading lady is because it was me all the time. but it's wonderful. I mean, it's a wonderful little love story and beautifully shot and stuff. I'm afraid if they did remake it now with all the CG and all that kind of stuff, it would be more scary. But I do remember watching it back in my early 20s, teens, and I was like, but again, I was the young ingenue. So.
You know, you can do anything you want. You should make a part two.
There you go. I should. If I suddenly was loaded, I would do that. I would say, let's do this. Well, but there's another one that I always liked that I knew I could have been in, and that was Robert Taylor's Westward Ho the Women. It's like 100 women traveling to as mail order brides. And listen, honey, I could have been a bride. One of those, you know. That was a good movie too. So
that's funny. Is that so? I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen that one. So it's one dude trying to get 100 women.
It's really got somewhere. Starts off with, there's like two basic ones. John McIntyre was the older guy who was trying to organize all of it. And Robert Taylor was helping him get them back through the pass and stuff. So before they ever get to go, they've got to know how to drive the wagons. They got to know how to shoot a gun. So that all goes on. And they go through Indian attacks. One of the wagons, while they're trying to go up, falls back. And another one jumps off and kills a kid. And the woman is never right. And she's like crazy person. And then there was kind of a Marjorie Maine character, and I was like, that's me. but it was, they ended up hiring a couple other guys who were supposed to help out, and there was too many shenanigans going on with them. And they end up getting there, and it turns out great. So it was very nice, very nice.
Can you ride a horse and shoot a gun?
Yes. I'm better with the gun than I am riding the horse, but I can get where I'm going. I could drive this thing. Some funny pictures I wish I could show you right now, but I don't have the foggiest idea where they are of me trying to get on the top of a Clydesdale.
That's a big animal.
Oh my God. It's like you're looking up at its back going, there is no way I'm going to get my ass up there. So, no, but that was a beautiful thing. But I did take English learning and Western, because as an actor, you're usually called to do that. And if they asked me, I would hire somebody immediately to get me going. And I would be doing the Thigh Master like crazy, because that's how you hold on to the horse. Though one time I got lost in the Angeles Forest with four other people on horses. What was supposed to be what's the thing about a 3-hour trip, Gilligan's Island? Well, this was like something that was supposed to be we left it, I think we left at 8 and seven, and we were supposed to be back by noon. Midnight, we still are lost. The map they were following, it didn't say that you end up at a cliff, so this is not going to be good. Anyway, after all this, one time I threw myself in the dirt and said, just leave me here to die. I can't ride anymore. and nobody's telling me that a snake crawled by me at this point. But so I got back on the horse, because there's a light up here. We got to go and you got to ride. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, God. So getting back on that was tough. But then we get there and they had a guy was so nice to us. He drove up with his Jeep to open the gate, because two ladies had to climb over and walk towards the light while we stood there holding their horses and our horse. And we had to be on that horse just in case anything else slithered by or the horse went crazy. Anyway, this guy that owned the house where the light was, he came, drove them back up in his Jeep. They got on the horses. We followed him down. He, had big troughs because he had his own horses. So our horses could drink. He took us inside. He said, here's the phone. Please call. Because people thought, where are they? It's midnight. They were going to be back at noon. So it was kind of scary. And God, when I think back on it, I could have been dead again. Mm-hmm. Guardian angel. I got a great guardian angel. Anyway, then they said, okay, there are people coming to take the horses and we're going to drive home, but we have to ride a mile to get there. So I was like, wow. Oh, please, I can't get back on that horse. On that horse. But I did. We went there.
See,
the next day I had an audition.
Oh, no.
It was a Disney audition. And so I sang my song, and the director goes, "Do you know A Lovely Bunch of Coconuts?" Now, honey, the stage was 2 inches high. Stepping up on that stage was the worst. Well, not as bad as shingles, but it was pretty bad getting up there. And now I got to shake them and do stuff doing that number. So I'm like, yeah, but here's your coconuts. But so, I mean, those things vividly stay in my mind. So like this, but yeah.
That was probably the meanest version of that song they'd ever heard.
It was, because shaking my bazoombas in my butt was like something else, but I did it. I mean, like, you know, I didn't get the part after all that agony, but it was probably because I looked in pain part of the time.
So, yeah, I think the problem with your map was, is whoever had it, every time the horse turned, he just kept the map the same direction. So that's when you guys got lost.
But we did lead off with the map. We started with the map. But now keep in mind, you're going to be back at noon. It's daytime. 5 o'clock, it starts getting dark. And it gets cold here because we're in the desert. Anyway.
Wow.
And I'm going, this was supposed to be 3 hours. What's happening? You know, at one point, you know how with your thighs. One point, my thighs didn't want to hold on anymore. And they took my horse to lead it. And I'm holding the horn to stay on the horse because that's just how bad it was by that time. Because, well, I guess I should also mention I hadn't ridden in about a year. So.
Wow.
But fun. And I'm still here. So, and yes, if they called me to ride that horse and shoot that gun. Yeah. Oddly enough, I learned to shoot when I was on Step by Step because we had some crazy guy that said he was coming down to kill all the women on the show. I don't know what that's about, but Stacy Keenan's mother said, "You know what? I saw this class to learn how to use a gun. It's being taught by Paxton Quigley, and it's armed and female. And she taught us how to clean it, how to handle it, safety measures, everything, loading it, always checking, all that kind of stuff. So I am accurate with my right hand, 357 Magnum, the long one. This way with my right hand, this way with my left hand, I will hit you between this area right here." And the first thing she taught all of the ladies is you do not shoot to wound, you shoot to kill. Because
that's good advice.
A nice big target. Shooting at the leg or shooting at the arm is not a big target, which everybody kind of went, what? And so we learned to do, and we learned like sitting down, coming up, shooting between our legs if, you know, we were in bed and whatever, and, you know, just accurately with both hands. So, I mean, I did learn that. I grew up with my dad had a gun all the time, as I remember, and it was on his headboard, but it was, you know, that was one of those times where you didn't get a timeout if you touched it. You got the belt, you know, that was, you know, so we knew, we never touched that gun unless he was showing us how to do it. Stuff. So.
Well, that's pretty scary. I'm never going to go knock on your front door and uninvited. That's
well, sure. You know, we had like, we had not beware of dog, but dog in yard, and I've got a security system. But I hung my you know, the thing you shoot the target. I hung the target on the window and said, "Don't worry about the dog. The woman owns a gun." And there was the target where you could see my So, yeah. Anyway, fun stuff. Fun. I don't know how the mailman felt about it, but it was good.
Yeah, he probably just threw your mail in the front yard and kept walking.
True, probably.
All right, Casey, what else you got for her?
I just had a question about the AI. So going back to that, you're an older woman. So like, let's say they hire you, and then instead of like hiring someone younger, like to play you, like there has to be like a 20-year-old Patrika, and they want to, you know, CGI your face. Does that benefit you, or you know, like, well, would you rather have them have someone else, or?
Well, I would prefer that they use an actor. I mean, why put an actor out of business? So I would prefer them trying to find a Zoftig, somebody that looks like me, or put the same color hair on her. And then we have very talented directors, lighting and camera people, who could make sure that they don't always see the face when something's happening, that, you know, they shoot over the shoulder, or that you only see a little bit of the face or something like that. When they're trying to make that 20-year-old go there and stuff like that. I remember on Days there was a rape scene, and I was being raped in my 20s, and they hired a young lady to do it who was wonderful, and she got the hell beat out of her all day long. So it was, but she got paid. She really got her salary worked. So I would prefer always that an actor get the job. But it's kind of like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That thing was looking at going, wow, dubbing's going to be eliminated, or unless they can figure something there. I don't know, but it's wow. Wow. And, you know, Bob Bergen, who was a governor with me at the TV Academy, he's the voice of Porky Pig and several other things, because he's done a number of, you know, I think some kind of duck he was at one point. And I don't know, Tweety Bird at one time. So he's that's who he is, an animated voice person, as well as being an on camera, but he's made his living very much as a voice actor. And you kind of go, at this point, they've got a voice. I mean, they can go back and pull Mel Blanc's voice out, which was kind of the original person, and do it and stuff like that. But no, I'd rather they let Bob do his work, and I'd let all voiceover people do their work. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really crazy. I mean, we use, like you mentioned, that ChatGPT. I use it almost every week for the descriptions, because, like, for these podcasts, I'll take the transcript of the podcast and I'll put it into ChatGPT, and then I'll say, could you write a YouTube description for this episode with hashtags? And it's like within, you know, 30 seconds, it comes up with a short description for YouTube with the hashtags, and it's amazing. And, like, I've been playing around with it. You were saying about the writing stuff. Like, I've been playing around with it, like trying to write things, and I've never written anything really in my life. So, like, I'll write something and I'll take it and I'll put it in, I'll type that and put it into ChatGPT, and I say, make this better. It's like it takes all my words, and then
they can't make it better because they're not a thinking brain. So that's why I said earlier, when ChatGPT or whatever they're using, creates the story that the producers and people, everybody loves, we want this story, but then they go, could you like fix it to a writer? Well, he has to go back, and he has a thinking brain. Well, it would be better if the villain did this at this time, you know, and then there's a suspense thing where, you know, they can change it to a very suspenseful thing, and you think it's you that did it, but it's really him. Not him either. Suddenly it's me. I'm the kid. So it's that's the writer creating that kind of stuff. And it just I don't know, but it's the future. I'm sure they're going to figure out some way to handle it, but it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It is crazy. Like our for these videos, like it's another program for these videos. So I'll take the whole file of this video after it's finished, after it's edited, I'll drag it over into this program, and then it comes up with, it'll give me 31 minute long clips from this video of the three of us in like, so I can post it to like Instagram, YouTube, you know, for those shorts and the reels and all that stuff.
And okay, so part of it's gonna be on camera. Do I look good? I just
want, oh yeah, you always look great.
You always look fabulous.
This part is, you get older and, you know, the testosterone rises up and the estrogen goes away, and I'm going to look like Ben Franklin in a couple of years. What the hell?
So, hey, more roles.
That would be true. I'm a Ben Franklin looking actress. What? There you go. ChatGPT could make a big thing out of that one.
And this won't be out for a few weeks. You have a birthday coming up soon, April 6th. Yes. So any big plans for that?
Well, I'm hoping to go out to dinner, but I'll be driving and making the reservations. Now, you know what's so great is Anthony Turk, who's the publicist who you talk to all the time. He He is like my best friend ever too. And he, last year he put together a party. So I feel sure that he's probably going to do something this year too. And so, yeah, with cool. all my friends, and I'm very blessed to have a lot of friends. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, plugs, where can people find you? Anything that you want people to see?
Well, I'm on Facebook, but somebody opened a Patrika A. Darbo. That is not, it's got a whole bunch of stuff, but it's not me. I'm just plain Patrika Darbo on Facebook. And then on Instagram, I'm Darbo Patrika. So now somebody took Bizbriar, which is the start of like my email, and put 2019. And I'm going, who the hell is Bizbriar 2019? I don't know who this is. You know, and suddenly pictures from somewhere else popped up, and I'm like, I don't get this. And so now I'm telling people, please don't share anything there for me. If you want me to do it or answer or do something, put it here. The email I use for my fans is totofans@yahoo.com. And I try to answer everything. I do have a fan club that Debbie O'Connor runs for me. So you can contact her to get the information there, which if I'd thought about it, I'd have in front of me right now. But, you know, she handles a lot of people, but she does my fan club. So, I mean, I'm out there. I'm everywhere. So, you know, and I hope you liked my fabulous commercial for the Super Bowl. It's my second one.
It was great. Yeah, I commented on your post when it popped up. I yelled, I know her.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I had a good time doing the Peanut, Mr. Peanut commercial, you know, with Charlie Sheen, which was great. And the mobile bus jumping like crazy and stuff. So those were fun. And they I think because of they did so many of them. My one thing is much longer. Like the clip that was on the Super Bowl was much longer than some of the others. They're intercutting and stuff like that. But those are all, you know, stuff there. So
yeah. So when you're filming that commercial like that for that, do they tell you that it's going to be a special Super Bowl commercial? Or
they don't. First of all my auditions, I didn't even know who the hell I was auditioning for. I mean, everything is so damn secret. You know, you're signing NDAs, or you know, you're sworn to secrecy until if you take a picture, you cannot post it until after it's run. And I mean, it's crazy. So I mean, now with everything, it's like now that there's 4011 streaming stations, I'm telling you right now, people are guarding things with their lives. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anywhere else, but it's crazy.
Well, thank you so much for your time. This was great. Again, once again.
Thank you very much. I hope you guys are up to some good things too, and things are going on. And you said your son was 12 and he likes Mango. Please tell him thank you.
Oh, I will.
Okay. Well, then, guys, I guess that's it for me. And where the hell do I get out of here? Leave the studio. Okay.
That's it.
Thanks, guys. You know, continued success. Take care until I see you again.
Thank you very much.
Till we see you again.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.